The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Netball Show with Flyhawk, great to speak to Lindsay Chapman and Thunder. They've developed a whole new look as well. You'll have already bagged some for the next Thundercast recording.
I want the merch. That's where I'm at, Andy. I want the merch. Yeah, again, I think, you know, bold new era in 2025 and then 2026. How do we make that stick as a full Super League? And Manchester Thunder have those incredible roots across the city, but across the Northwest. And I think they just wanted to rebrand and sort of say, this is who we are. We're bold. We're looking forward. We want a dynamic image. And, you know, we're a team that's about the fans and about the community as well. So I know that they consulted across players and fans and their community outlets as well to bring this rebrand through to Manchester Thunder. So good on them. You know, let's
it's
see.
It's really nice, isn't it? It's really nice.
It's really nice. And let's see if a new logo gets them to the very top next season, shall we?
Super Cup, Super Shot is back. That can only be a good thing.
Well, that can only be a good thing, right? I mean, I am one for the Super Shot. I really enjoyed watching it in Australia before it came over here. I think it adds to the game. I think it keeps teams in the game for longer. Yes, there is the option for games to blow out, you know, and get those really big scores and really big differences. But I feel what we saw last season is teams staying in games for longer and being able to come back when you weren't necessarily expecting it. So I'm very excited about that. I think that teams need to really think about how they're using the Super Shot, though. Because when I watch the games out in Australia, they play it in a really different way to us. And I would say last season, Nottingham Forest came alive, didn't they? In that last 5 minutes of each quarter. And that is how they played those games. And Chelsea Pittman knows they need to play the first 10 minutes and the one goal game. So again, it'll be loads of strategy, thinking how teams play, thinking how teams adapt to it as well. And looking at defence. Defence in 2026 need to really adapt to what the Super Shot means. And yeah, I'm delighted that Super Cup's back because I think it gives us the opportunity as fans to sort of take in those eight franchises and their squads of 10 in one go. And there has been quite a lot of movement again this season. And I think it's just a really good sort of flash of what is to come for the season, you know, and it's a mad old day as a commentator. Think, where's this player and what's this team and what's happening, what's going on? But I think
the amount
it's very
of prep
good.
As well, the amount of prep, because you don't know what game you're going to get.
Oh, Andy, you don't know what game you're going to get. You know, we sort of find that out maybe a few days beforehand and sort of look at the schedule and stuff. But I personally, when I'm doing my prep ahead of the season, and I prep into each game as well, so each week I'll do research and do my preparation, but I like to do a really solid sort of few days, weeks building into the season where I just look at all the teams together and the movement and the ages and you know, the experience that's coming back into certain teams. So actually Super Cup is really good for me because there's a deadline. You know, I've got to get all the research done by that first centre pass.
What about these doubleheader fixtures that have been announced? I think maybe you and I had been to the Easter weekend a couple of seasons ago, but extra elements like that, just extra value for money, really, and a chance to take in, obviously, two games on the one day.
Yeah, I think that's a really clever idea, actually, in terms of what the season offers, what the day offers, what the arena offers to fans, you know. And I think it's there's Pulse, well, it's Thunder Pulse, isn't it? And then Rhinos Dragons playing that doubleheader in the Northwest. And what a great day for fans, you know, to come and see those four teams play it out on a really big stage. It definitely makes financial sense. And I think it works the clubs as well. You know, those arena games, they're brilliant. They bring the atmosphere. They bring fans from all over the country. But also, they can be quite costly for the franchises themselves, you know. And as we're looking towards professionalisation, we need to get those big numbers in for them to really enjoy that spectacle. And actually, I think by offering more than one game in one day, it sort of opens the league up and people have chance to see teams they weren't maybe expecting and get a little bit more value for money. And hopefully those clubs can balance it between themselves as well and just look at that sort of financial picture instead of doing that individually, look at it as a league.
It was obviously season one of the new era. Do you think anything worked well maybe more than others?
I definitely felt like there was a raise in the standard across the board. And I don't necessarily mean that from a playing perspective, although I think this league is going up and up in this country, you know, and the calibre of players that we have, both coming from overseas, but also within the Super League here and the way that it's set up, it is just rising every single year, which is brilliant. But what I felt from the league last year was that, one, covering every single game on broadcast was so, so important to tell the story of the season. I've said this for years, you know, when we didn't have that access, you would miss, even if you were a huge super fan, you know, there were moments that you could miss because you couldn't access the games,
the
you couldn't view them. You couldn't sort of follow the story of the season. And I think that was a huge change in COVID times when the matches were streamed. And then this year to have them broadcast across Sky and the BBC, what a change that was. And I think, you know, yes, there are always issues with broadcast. I'm within that. We're well aware of that. But I think the fact that the access is there is huge to the story of the Super League and also to fans overseas being able to get access to the players and sort of understand a bit more what we do over here. So that was really important. But I also think that just the way the league was branded, actually, you know, and sort of bringing together the social media side of things from each club and also the way that that things looked, you know, it's bright, it was vibrant, it was strongly women focused. And I think that cuts through, you know, and as we're seeing the Lionesses do well, as we're seeing the Red Roses do well, you know, we want the England Netball Roses to rise with that as well. And it's all sort of part of that and coming together in this professionalisation model.
Two of the people coming to the league is obviously Sophie Fawns to Thunder and Jenny Van Wyk to Mavericks. How excited are you that they're joining the Super League?
I mean, I am absolutely delighted with those signings. And I think the big one for me is Sophie Fawns coming across from the Australian League. So obviously we've had training partners, we've had sort of 11th players, but Sophie Fawns really part of that New South Wales Swift side. And so to begin to see that swap, not just our players and our lead players going out to the big clubs in Australia, but to see the big players in Australia see the UK as a place to come and develop their career. And yes, maybe she wasn't getting loads of court time with New South Wales Swifts, you know, over the last season. And that's what she really needs. But that is the switch that is starting to happen. And that is absolutely key and brilliant for this league. And my goodness me, you know, Manchester Thunder, look at their shooting circle now. They've got Elna Cardwell, Sophie Fawns and Lois Pearson. I mean, be afraid, Andy, right?
Elle's coming back as well. That'd be good for her. And she just told me that she knew it was the right time to maybe come back as well.
Yeah, I think she's a bit of a home bird, isn't she? And she's so key in the circle. What I'm interested in terms of Manchester Thunder is what that circle is going to look like, though, because Elle Cardwell is a holding shooter, but she likes to move as well. Sophie Fawns, you know, again, can hold near that post, but she loves a super shot and she likes to be moving about. And then you've got Lois Pearson, who can play wing attack as well, of course. And she's sort of cutting in and she's using her smarts to really slice things up. So week in, week out, Karen Gregg just has so many options in that shooting circle. And that's going to be absolutely fascinating. And when you look at Mavericks, you know, again, they've got George Inger coming back, haven't they? We might know her as George Fisher, got married now, George Inger. And then Jamie Van Wyk. And what an exciting player. You've spoken about her there, from South Africa, actually voted the best defender in the South African League this year. And if you've watched the internationals, you know, South Africa against New Zealand, she's only going to add to that Maverick side, you know, and that's what they need. They made it into Final Four, didn't they, for the first time in 9 years, but they want to push beyond that. And look at their coach, you know, Tamsin Greenway has come in as head coach now as well. And Camilla Buchanan did a brilliant job getting them to Final Four last year. But again, Tamsin, the way that she thinks and the kind of ethos that she's going to bring to Mavericks, it'll be an interesting season for them.
And in the past as well, you've already told me you really like the playing style of Izzy and Susie as well for Mavs.
Yeah, definitely. I think that Susie Liversidge is a fantastic player. I think she, once again, is one of those players that just really uses her smarts. She goes and goes as well. And for me, what it is, it's those players that go under the radar a little bit, sort of your Lois Pearson and your Susie Liversidge, but they are absolute weapons, you know. And I actually think that's a real credit to them. It's sort of, it's not necessarily the big name, as you might say it, you know. Everybody knows to watch out for Fumi Fidoju. How are we going to deal with that, you know, and Liv Sheen at the other end as well for London Pulse. But players like Susie Liversidge, what do you do about that? Players like Lois Pearson, what is she thinking? You know, and that's, for me as a commentator, it's wonderful to see those players and the way that they can change games. They've brought in Kamo Maseko, and I think that's their only change. Now, when we look at the season, Andy, and we look at the changes that are happening across the league, I think consistency is really, really important. And I was speaking to Karen Gregg about this. You know, she wants to keep the majority of what is working for Manchester Thunder. And obviously, Elmarie van der Berg, she's gone over to Australia. What an amazing season she had for Thunder last year. But we know that had all those injuries, and it was actually their shooting end because it didn't necessarily have that consistency week in, week out that she really needed. So she's looked to change that this year. And I think what Sam Bird has done with London Pulse is go, we won, that worked for us. We want to keep it very, very similar. And Maseko is just genius, you know, bringing her in and the way that she plays in that goal attack role. You know, I think she's offering a different style. She's offering a different flavour. And she's so quick. She's so quick on her ball speed, her release. And, you know, she can sort of play across that wing attack position as well. So it's a really strong signing.
For Sophie Kelly as well, joining Pulse last season, that really brought on her game.
It definitely did, you know, and to be in that environment as well. I think Pulse had it across their side from the very beginning that they wanted to claim Super League 2025. You know, they'd never had their name on the title before. And I think the sort of thinking and the behind the scenes processes that went into that were really great for young players, actually, people like Sophie Kelly, AC Smith. They could take on that ethos and that vibe of going, we're hungry for this and we want this and we want to expand in this space. And I think Sophie Kelly has done that. And she's one of those sort of gorgeous goal attacks, isn't she? That her movement is just sort of, she's like a waif, you know, she drifts in and out of the circle, but with such precision. And then she's got the long shot on her as well. So watch out.
Hi, it's Gretel Buetta and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Netball Show with Flyhawk. Great to speak to Lindsay Chapman. Forest, last season, they finished fifth and they just missed out by three. So we previously looked at partnerships right throughout the court, but for Chelsea, it'd just be building on that debut season.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Chelsea knows that. You know, I think that what a brilliant first season she had as a head coach. I love speaking to her, you know, and the sort of off-court conversations that we have before and after the game. She's really honest. And I think, again, she's building a really nice atmosphere at Nottingham Forest Netball. And they've got, you know, they've got that sort of football name behind them. Keep your eyes on Nottingham Forest Netball because it's only going to be a build for them. You're right. She put in partnerships. It worked for them. As I say, though, the one goal game needs to be better from that side because they definitely relied on Rolene Strutka to sort of bring the two shot game. They brought in Anya Williams, haven't they, from Manchester Thunder, and Annie Retief as well, South African player in defence. So they're the only two changes. They were the first team to put out their 10 as well, weren't they? They did signing and cracked on with it and announced
it all. Yeah.
I think for me, though, Andy, what's interesting about that team is the goal attack role because you've got Rolene, you know, very much a sort of stay in that circle, really body up, play that goal shooter role. Anya Williams, more familiar with goal shooter as well. Rhea Dixon came and went a little bit for me last season, you know, and goal attack, what a key role that is. So whether it's building her confidence to put the shot up, because she has amazing games as well, but you need that consistency. So for me, I just sort of question that goal attack role for Nottingham Forest. We will wait and see.
Panthers brought in Sonia after the departure of Joe Tripp. That, for me, is going to be really exciting just to see what she manages to do there.
Yes, yes. And Sonia knows how to coach, doesn't she? She knows how to play and she knows how to coach. And congratulations to her with the Youth World Cup as well. You know, just what England were able to achieve. And you see that reflected across her Panther side, don't you? She's brought in new faces that she obviously knows from the under-21s. It's an exciting team. There is less consistency there. So I think what she's done is sort of gone, right, I'm going to put my stamp on this. I'm going to look at the signings that I make and I'm going to build my team starting off from this year. She's got some fantastic internationals though, hasn't she? She's got Tiana Metoro coming in, who has been playing out in New Zealand. And I've been watching her for a few years, you know, exciting young player coming through. Then you've got Charlie Fiddler as well and Gabby Coffey. I was like, hang on a minute, there are three internationals in there. But I did check with England Netball and, you know, that's not the case. They have got the two. I think it's Charlie Fiddler that counts as a domestic player. That's what England Netball said to me. But changes there across the board and we'll have to see how quickly they gel as a side. But yeah, brilliant signings.
We briefly touched on Dragons earlier. I mean, I'm obviously just glad that they're still here, but they'll have Leah back and Ella Bowen as well. You would have seen her in Thunder colours.
Yeah, seen her in Thunder colours, seen her in Rhino's colours as well. I mean, coming back from injury, Ella is one of those players that goes and goes and goes. You know, she's really dogged. She's got so much energy. What's fascinating for me, and you know, you love your Dragons, so tell me, Andy, but is that they've gone for a slightly different structure, haven't they? So they've got three in attack.
It looks like it this season, yeah.
They've got three in attack, three in the midcourt, but four in defence. And I just wonder whether that is to support Leah Middleton coming back in. So that's a different look side. You know, most teams go three shooters, four middies, three defenders. Dragons are not doing that. So whether they'll look, you know, to bring in Ella Bowen across defence, wing defence, or centre, I don't know. You know, maybe
you're going to get those first couple of months until she's back properly and just like back into the swing of things, I'd say. Just that extra little bit of support I was thinking when I saw the team.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that they need to really build on their Welsh internationals and the connections that they've got there, because those are built across Super League, but also across the international window. So what can they do with those connections and continue to build in their new players? And Chiwane is just great for them. You know, she's South African captain and she's an absolute motor. So again, I think we just want more from Dragons, don't we? We want more because we know they've got so much spirit and heart, and we want sort of more wins for them.
Lightning then, familiar faces of Nat, Ella and Beth. And are you a member of the Shadeen fan club like me?
I don't know anybody that's not in the Shadeen van der Merwe fan club. I mean, that woman is a sensational netball player and a wonderful human, you know, and always has time for the fans and has a cheeky little sense of humour as well. And I adore watching her play. I loved it when she was out in Australia. I still think she's a wing defence, but, you know, goal defence obviously as well. So again, it's the consistency thing, isn't it? You know, it's looking at those top three, top four. They haven't made very many changes. Forest as well, not very many changes. And I think Vic Burgess knows that. And brilliant, Jess Shaw. You know, just supporting that midcourt will be absolutely key in what she can deliver. And Sammy Wallace-Joseph, I think she showed us the quality that she had last season. So they'll need to push on, though. If anyone wants to take this title away from London Pulse and the kind of confidence they've got now, they need to push forward.
And finally, just a word on some of the players that won't be part of season 2026. Two Chelseas, Elle McDonald, Elle Murray, Gabs Marshall retired, Jodie Gibson, Rosie Harris, Ziggy. Quite inevitable, but just some of those names. And when you mention them like that, you just think, oh, okay.
Absolutely. You know, and some of those will have been player choices. Some of those will have been really difficult decisions by the clubs, and some of them will be new opportunities in other countries. And I think when you hear those names, you're right, Andy, and when you list them like that, you think, oh gosh, you know, such quality, such caliber.
And that was only half of the ones.
I know. Yeah. But that is ruthless. You know, elite sport is ruthless. And you want the best of the best. And that's what these teams are striving for, you know. And I think as well, there's always going to be that draw out to Australia, out to New Zealand as well, as players want to develop their game. But like I said before, the fact that Sophie Fawns is coming this way now, it's not one-way traffic, and you've got those New Zealand players coming in as well. And as Australia and New Zealand, certainly the international side has relaxed its rules in terms of what internationals are allowed to do, go out and play in Australia and still be on the Silver Ferns. The world of netball is changing, and that is fascinating to me. You know, and Super League and the England Roses are rising with that. I do want to shout out to Leeds Rhinos as well, because obviously they've picked up a number of the Thunder players as well. And one of my standout signings actually is Sanmarie Visser, who is a South African defender. And please keep your eye on her, because she's been playing out in Australia. She was an injury replacement player, and now she's coming over here. And again, a young gun that I've sort of been watching for the last couple of years. And I just think, do not underestimate her in defence. She's a cracker.
And we've got the dates. The Netball Super Cup is on the 21st of Feb. Regular rounds begin on Friday the 27th. And get the time off work now. The final is going to be taking place on the 20th of June. And you'll be there for everyone.
I mean, how lucky am I? It's an absolute joy to commentate on the sport, to courtside report, to host as well for the BBC, and to see these players up close and have the access that we have. And I think netball should hold on to that, because that's what the fans want. And I think the more open we can be about this sport, and the more opportunities that we give women, young men to connect with this absolutely brilliant, dynamic, clever athletic sport is absolutely key. So I cannot wait. Obviously, it's a Commonwealth Games year next year as well. So all the dates are sort of slightly shifted because it's a big old international year next year. But yeah, bring it on.
Lindsay Smashin, thanks for your time.
Absolute pleasure. Nice to speak to you, Andy.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.